Conversely, there are people that cause this sensation like scratching a blackboard or getting on your last nerve. Companion gardening is a great way to learn about plants that either work well together or cannot function and do more harm than good. According to Companion Planting Guide, published in the February 10th, 2019 issue of Farmer's Almanac, there are multiple benefits for using companion planting. A few of those are shade regulation, natural supports, improved plant health, healthy soil, and weed control. While different plants can be beneficial, how does this symbiotic relationship work? In vegetable gardens, some plants, especially herbs, act as natural insect repellents. The odors they emit can confuse different insects. This can be beneficial since it will not encourage a host of harmful insects and will actually discourage their dinner parties on the plants they love. A few good companion plants can be flowers, such as the marigold, which are good for almost any vegetable grown. They are known to repel insects, which are harmful to plants, and when turned under into the soil, they are known to also repel other harmful pests, such as nematodes. In addition, herbs, while grown for their addition to cooking, can also serve as a deterrent to pests. Dill and basil, planted among tomatoes, can protect from tomato hornworms, which can decimate a tomato plant overnight and are camouflaged by their green color. The only way to find the culprit is by searching for stripped branches and or their dropping trail. Although there are many great pairings of flowers or herbs in your vegetable garden, there are several that simply do not work. One example is while white onions and garlic repel many pests, they stunt the growth of beans and peas, according to the article. Consider the benefits of companion gardening and consult the online article for more extensive suggestions for using companion gardening to benefit your production. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Texas Master Gardeners. We are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Visit westtexasgardening.org. Fertilizer gives your garden a boost, by Jeanette Castanone. First, fertilizers are a great way to give your garden the extra push it may need when producing flowers and fruits. There are four different ways that fertilizers are applied. Broadcast before planting. The proper amount of fertilizer is spread evenly over the garden and mixed into the soil to a depth of 3 to 4 inches before making beds for planting. This method is least likely to cause plant damage. Band or bed applications. The fertilizer is applied in a strip to the side of the row before planting. This method requires care to prevent plant damage from roots, which may come into contact with the fertilizer band. Starter solutions. This is used mainly on transplants, such as tomatoes and peppers. Mix 2 tablespoons of garden fertilizer with 1 gallon of water and stir well. Pour 1 cup of the mixture into the hole and let it soak in before transplanting. Side dressing. The term side dressing denotes an application of fertilizer, usually one containing nitrogen only, alongside the rows or in a circle around growing plants. This ensures a nitrogen supply as plants grow and develop. One heavy fertilizer application in the early spring is not enough. It is much better to apply a moderate amount before planting with supplemental side dressings during the growing season. A guide for side dressing applications is listed below. Onions, when 5 to 6 leaves have formed. Tomatoes, when first fruits are small, apply 1 tablespoon per plant. Repeat every 4 weeks. Squash, when vines are 1 foot long, at a rate of 1 level tablespoon per plant. Herbs, when about half grown and after first harvest. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Jeanette Costanone. Costanone is a horticulturist with Texas AgriLife Extension Service. She can be reached at 686-4700 or by email at Jeanette, J-E-A-N-E-T-T-E, dot Costanone, C-A-S-T-A-N-O-N, at ag.tamu.edu. What to do when a death occurs at home? By Levi Stone, RN, MSN, Chief Nursing Officer. The inevitability of life is, at some point, every single one of us will die. Some of us are taken far too soon, and others are fortunate to live longer. As predictably non-predictable as death is, would you know who to call if someone died? Particularly at home, away from a medical facility or hospital setting? Even when a death is expected, it can still create chaos and uncertainty for those left behind. Before being caught in the wake of confusion after someone passes away, mapping out the immediate steps to be taken should be considered. One thing to ponder before death is even in the picture is having an open, honest conversation about death with loved ones so everyone is on the same page regarding expectations, wishes, and how it all is to be carried out. This involves executing a do not resuscitate order and living will. Both take the guesswork out of being your loved one's advocate with clearly written and distinct directives on end-of-life choices. Do not resuscitate, DNR, order. Quite simply, a DNR order is a request for healthcare professionals to not perform cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, or advanced cardiac life support, ACLS, measures in the event your heart stops or you quit breathing. However, there are 2 types of DNR orders everyone should be aware of. First, there's the standard DNR used in hospitals, and there is also the out-of-hospital DNR, OOH DNR, which is specifically written to alert emergency medical system, EMS, responders, of the patient's wish to not receive life-saving treatments or be transported to a higher level of care to obtain additional care. In fact, the state of Texas requires patients and family who have made the decision for DNR to have an OOH DNR on hand and presented in order for EMS to honor the DNR. For those needing the OOH DNR form, it is available on the Texas Department of State Health Services website at https://workarea/linkit.aspx?mld=85899461200. Living wills, also referred to as healthcare directives or advance directives, Living wills provide a legal written document defining the types of medical treatment and life-sustaining measures you want or do not want in the event of a medical emergency. Examples of specific treatments and measures include mechanical ventilation, being placed on a ventilator, tube feedings, dialysis, and or the administration of life-saving medications in the event of a cardiopulmonary arrest. This is also a perfect opportunity to express your desire to donate your organs, tissue, and eyes. Decisions can be influenced by one's own personal beliefs, especially when the emotional components of grief enter the equation. Siblings, blended families, or even the absence of family members can hinder the process to form a consensus, leading to family infighting and turmoil. Clearly, delineating your care preferences and wishes now instead of later through a living will, this will afford your family peace of mind to carry out these decisions when the time comes. One easy method is to formulate a checklist allowing you and your family the navigation through these next steps, ensuring everything is handled appropriately and smoothly. Dealing with the death of a loved one is a very emotional time. Having this document handy can keep things focused when grief may otherwise consume your ability to think clearly and logically. Consumer Reports provides a wonderful checklist to use and is available on their website at consumerreports.org. The following is a segment of this list serving as a guide in handling those immediate next steps. Immediately. 1. Get a legal pronouncement of death. If no doctor is present, you'll need to contact someone to do this. If the person dies at home under hospice care, call the hospice nurse who can declare the death and help facilitate the transport of the body. If the person dies at home without hospice care, call 911 and have in hand the out-of-hospital do not resuscitate document. Again, without one, paramedics will generally start emergency procedures and take the person to an emergency room for a doctor to make the declaration. 2. Arrange for transportation of the body if no autopsy is needed. The body can be picked up by a mortuary or crematorium. 3. Notify the person's doctor. 4. Notify close family and friends. You may need to ask close family and friends to help contact others. 5. Handle care of dependents and pets. 6. Call the person's employer if he or she was working. Request info about benefits and any pay that was due. Ask whether there was a life insurance policy through the company. Having an idea in knowing who to call after a loved one dies can save additional grief, hardships, inconveniences, and even money. We shouldn't wait until tomorrow to map these plans out. Know yours and your family's wishes and act on them today. As Benjamin Franklin famously stated, the only thing certain in life are death and taxes. We were not born with built-in timers to remind us when our times on earth are up, but we can take the opportunity to plan ahead for the inevitable.
Hello, this is April, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, June 13, 2020. Health. Midlander turns bodybuilding passion into career. By J.C. Lewis. jc.lewis@hearstnp.com. Want to join? To sign up, go to facebook.com/MidlandFlexZone. Midland will soon have a gym for bodybuilders and others who need help along their fitness journey. The owner of Midland Flex Zone, Ricardo Pina, 31, said he has transformed himself through fitness. I started off in my mom's garage actually doing regular cardio because I was too embarrassed to join a gym because I was so big, he said. I was 22 years old and weighing 250 pounds. The native Midlander said that after he broke the treadmill, he joined the YMCA, but his main goal was to just be skinny, not necessarily healthy. I ended up dropping a ton of weight, Pina said. I dropped down to 165, Then everybody was like, "You look sick and don't look healthy." I really wasn't doing it the healthy way. I was starving myself because I knew nothing about fitness. The turning point was when he hired a personal trainer from Odessa who introduced him to bodybuilding. His trainer pushed him into lifting weights. "I didn't want to lift weights because in my mentality I was going to get big," he said. "I didn't want to be big. I had been big all my life, but little did I know that I would fall in love with the sport." Pena said he participated in National Physique Committee bodybuilding competition in 2018 because he wanted to know the feeling of having a six-pack. "It was amazing being there from where I was at," Pena said. "Even then, I was still very insecure in general." After the competition, Pena said he resumed his old life and started to get depressed about backsliding. He contacted a trainer in Fort Worth who pushed him to lift weights on his own. He competed again in December, which lit a different fire in him. "This is truly where my heart is at. This is where my passion is," Pena said. "I have a 14-year-old son, and he looks up to me like crazy with this stuff. I'm on stage, and you can just hear him screaming for me." Pena said that he wants people to feel comfortable and happy when they come to Midland Flex Zone, which is opening today. He said he wants the gym to be home for bodybuilders, stay-at-home moms, and people who are shy to go lift at the gym because it might be intimidating. "I want them to feel comfortable and for them to come change their life here," he said. "Once you start dropping weight, to me your confidence just glows." The gym shares the building at 2211 West Florida Avenue with 1-to-1 Barbershop and will sell supplements available from Complete Health. The pandemic has given Pena time to prepare his gym to open and to work on getting his personal trainer certificate. During coronavirus, Midland Flex Zone will be open 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. The gym will be open 24 hours when restrictions are lifted by the state. Pena will offer year-long contracts as well as day and week passes. He is also giving specials to college and high school students, active and veteran military members, and first responders, including nurses. He's working to get additional equipment to cater to people who aren't bodybuilders. Pena's bodybuilding picture is hanging by gym's entrance, and he plans on doing a wall for members who are bodybuilders. "I plan on putting my members' pictures up there," he said. "If they train and prep through here, then that's your home gym, so I'm going to show you off." Mental health hotline available. Texas Health and Human Services is offering residents a new resource to help with emotional concerns related to the pandemic. These free services are available in conjunction with Federal Emergency Management Agency and local mental health authorities, according to a press release from Emergence Health Network. Through the FEMA Crisis Counseling Program and Texas Recovering Together Initiative, Emergence Health Network will operate a COVID-19 mental health support hotline for residents in West Texas, including Midland and Odessa. Callers to the free hotline can receive access to local services. The toll-free number for the counseling program is 844-420-3964. City pools are open. Doug Russell Pool and Washington Family Aquatic Center are open, but because of staffing and coronavirus limitations, are operating on different days. Russell will be open Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Washington will be open Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Both pools will be closed on Mondays for maintenance and training. Entry passes, which are $3, will be sold for three-hour sessions. They go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before the posted opening times and are good only for the day of purchase. Punch cards will not be sold this year, according to a press release from the city. Because of staffing limitations and coronavirus precautions, there won't be private parties, lap swim times, swimming lessons, or family nights. Pool furniture will be removed from both pools, but swimmers will be allowed to bring chairs. The schedule is Washington, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday and Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. and 5 to 8 p.m. Sunday, Doug Russell, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, June 14, 2020. Section A. Midlander creates ice cream flavors that represent Texas. By Tumbleweed Smith, columnist. It's hard to be mad when you're enjoying an ice cream. Those words from Midlander J.P. Hearn, owner of Fountainville, apply to just about everybody. Ice cream soothes the savage beast within us all. No matter whether it's summer or winter, or whether you're 80 or 8, ice cream takes the edge off and makes things smooth. The Ice Cream Parlor off Loop 250 near HEB is a one-of-a-kind store and a fountain of blessings to his customers. We make our ice cream from scratch, and we kind of like to feature flavors that represent where we're from. One of our top flavors is tumbleweed. We do black gold, which is a black ice cream that has the flavor of local honey and graham cracker. Other flavors are sandstorm, caliche, you know, really fun flavors that reflect where we're from. Fountainville has 20 flavors of ice cream. Black gold is the best seller. The color comes from coconut charcoal, and the flavor with that graham cracker and honey taste is a twist on the flavor. That's by far our number one seller. Some customers come in and it's black gold or nothing. Sometimes we sell out and they'll say that they'll keep watching until we have it, or they'll call before they come. Fans can only go a week or so without ice cream. I prefer the tumbleweed flavor. It's got caramel and chocolate and toasted coconut. The color is kind of toasted coconut color with some chocolate and caramel mixed in. JP went to culinary school and has a degree in pastries and desserts. Before opening Fountainville 4 years ago, he had an oil field catering business and took a big trailer to the oil patch so the workers could go inside through the buffet line. People love ice cream, and I thought West Texas needed its own ice cream. That's how Fountainville came about. Of course, we have a soda fountain from the 40s and have homemade soft drinks and other items. We make our own waffle cones. We serve our ice cream in cones and bowls in different sizes. He has made 50 tons of ice cream since opening. JP will spend 6 hours getting a new batch ready. Ingredients include 30 gallons of milk, 21 gallons of heavy cream, 16 pounds of dry milk, 80 pounds of sugar, a gallon of corn syrup, and a little bit of stabilizer to hold it all together. Special equipment heats and cools the mixture. Fountainville recently became a Go Texan certified ice cream shop. We're the only one in West Texas. We were selected because we use local ingredients and we make our own base and things like that. We love to represent West Texas with our ice cream.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, June 15th. Anime Fun. Event's focus is Japanese culture. The story was written by Sam Waller. Anime fans can indulge in their favorite series and cosplay as their favorite characters at Madessa Anime, a 3-day event coming to the Permian Basin in August. Billed as an anime hotel convention, Josh Wilson, owner of event organizer Fandom Events, said it should not be confused with a Comic-Con, which includes other genres such as science fiction and fantasy. Quote, an anime hotel convention consists of primarily staying on-site at the venue, said Wilson, whose company has produced up to 8 shows a year in Texas and Oklahoma. Quote, programming is not quite 24 hours a day, but it's close enough that it's really not feasible to just stop in for an hour or two and expect to get the full experience, end quote. Wilson added that Madessa Anime is designed to be family-friendly and age-appropriate, while Comic-Cons can tend to be more adult-oriented. Quote, this is an all-ages event, he said. This is hyper-specific market audience for people who are into Japanese animation. If you've been to a Comic-Con and liked it, there's a 99% chance you'll really love an anime convention. Quote, the focus is on Japanese culture, Japanese fashion, Japanese illustration, and particularly the anime market, end quote. A full list of events, code of conduct, and policies are available at the event's website, www.madessaanime.com. Madessa Anime is scheduled for August 14th through 16th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Memberships may be purchased online at tinyurl.com/YRWM63RW, with packages ranging from VIP for $99 to weekend $40, day and virtual $35 each, to children ages 5 through 12 for $15. One child 4 and under will be admitted free with every membership, and discounts are offered for active emergency responders and military. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, Wilson said, physical memberships are limited to 1,500 attendees. Quote, the short version is we're limiting the attendance at Modessa Anime until we hear differently from the governor, Wilson said. Unless they lift it, we will cap that to ensure that there is less than 25% capacity for the Marriott. We've been working with federal, state, and local authorities and the Marriott itself. The vendor hall, where most of the traffic is typically elbow to elbow, will have an attendance cap where the room capacity has been lowered and also traffic flows one way. I don't know if that's anything any convention's done before. End quote. Wilson said that similar events held in Lubbock and Amarillo showed there was enough demand in the Permian Basin to warrant a show here. Quote, we just kept getting a lot of feedback and responses from people in Midland and Odessa to bring a show down there, he said. We were approached by the Odessa Marriott, which at that time was still being constructed. We felt like they were a good fit to showcase what a big city anime hotel convention feels like without having to drive to San Antonio, Austin, Houston, or Dallas. Quote, over the past 30 years, that has been the situation for those of us who are into Japanese animation, illustration, and fashion. That's been our only choice, honestly. If we wanted to attend these events in the past, we just headed off into the car and had to drive for hours on end. End quote. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Main Street Unplugged. Basin PBS has scheduled live Main Street Unplugged quarterly music series premiering at 7 p.m. June 25th and will air live from inside the Basin PBS Anwar Family Studio. In keeping with the annual concert theme of Main Street and music, the series will feature local and national music artists showcasing different styles and genres, something for everyone. The first featured artist will be Scott Kirby. Kirby is an accomplished singer, songwriter, and performer, and has been known to take the stage with the likes of Carole King, Jimmy Buffett, Tom Rush, Peter Meyer, and others. For more information on upcoming episodes, visit www.basinpbs.org or on Facebook. TARP. Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Teen Artist Residency Program display at 6 p.m. June 26th. This year's TARP artists will work under the instruction of artist Alice Leese. Selected students, ages 13 to 17, will spend the week of June 22nd through 26th creating paintings with acrylic and watercolors. On June 26th, their work will be on display. The event is free. To enroll or for more information, call 550-9696 or visit noelartmuseum.org.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite...
next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, our West Texas News.